We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 1. I've entitled this the message this morning, The Servant's Test. We saw in our introductory lesson on the Gospel of Mark a couple weeks ago that the theme of Mark's Gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant of the Lord who gives His life for the sins of people. We saw that He is that suffering servant that God had predicted would come and now has come, and how He goes to the cross and is raised from the dead to give us life. Now, remember, our theme verse for the Gospel of Mark was Mark chapter 10, verse 45. This is your memory verse, okay, for this whole series of lessons that we have on the Gospel of Mark. So if you haven't yet learned that verse, you can learn Mark 10, 45. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." Now, as we look at the story today of the servant's test, as we look at the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just read that Matthew's story of that. Brian read that for us from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Now, Matthew and Luke both record Jesus' temptation here, and when you read those accounts, you'll find that they have a lot more detail than what Mark does. Matthew devotes 11 verses to Jesus' temptation and tells us the details about the three different types of temptations that Jesus endured from the devil and how He used the Scripture to fight those temptations. But Mark, in his story of Jesus' temptation, gives us the whole thing in two verses. You'll find it in Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Follow along with me as I read it. He says, "Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him." Two verses. Just kind of characteristic of Mark in his gospel. He moves through the gospel very quickly, and here he does that with Jesus' temptation. And we might be tempted ourselves to go over to Matthew or to Luke and to get the longer story and to see all of the details about how Jesus was tempted and what went on with His temptations and how He battled Satan in the desert during these 40 days and how He was victorious over that. But we're not going to do that today. Even though I was tempted to take all of that and kind of squeeze it into Mark, Mark doesn't give us all of that. What I want us to see is what Mark has to say, and therefore what God has to say to us from the Gospel of Mark through his version of the temptation of Jesus. And I think his theme, his main point, is really the theme of the Gospel of Mark. He wants us to see that the Lord Jesus is the servant of the Lord, and He wants us to realize that the servant of the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who, as we saw, was predicted by the Old Testament prophets, the one who was announced by John the Baptist, the one who identified with sinners in His baptism, the one who was approved by the Father when He said, "This is My Son in whom I love, in Him I am well pleased," the one who was anointed with the Holy Spirit as the Spirit came down like a dove at His baptism. This same one, the servant of God, who has come to be the King, who has come to be the Savior, He must be tested. The servant of the Lord must be tested, must be tempted. And that's kind of instructive for us, I think, because if Jesus, the servant of the Lord, the one who is the Son of God, if He must be tempted, then that might give us a clue to say that all who are servants of the Lord, anyone who would come after Jesus, would follow Him and would be a servant of God, maybe we must be tempted as well. We must be tested. And that's kind of where we're going to go today as we look at Mark's story of the temptation. Now, I kind of reminded you of the context that we have, where we find these two verses. We had John the Baptist, who, remember, was prophesied by Isaiah to be the forerunner of the Messiah. He had prepared the way for the Lord. He had declared that this one that came after him would be greater than him, the thongs of whose sandals he was not worthy to stoop down and untie, that he would be God's messenger who would bring about the kingdom of God. And he began to preach a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And then Jesus came to be baptized. And when he came up out of the water. The Spirit came down on him like a dove, anointing him as the king and as the prophet and as the priest who would come and give his life. And the Father spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now you can imagine that experience for Jesus was a spiritual high. Can't you imagine that? Here you have the Spirit coming down, the voice from heaven, and it was probably the most powerful thing that had happened in Jesus' life up to that point. It was an amazing thing. It was a spiritual climax. It was a spiritual zenith in Jesus' life. And what happens next? Well, the way Mark puts it is, immediately. Now, Mark loves that word because you'll find it throughout the Gospel of Mark. He's going to say, and suddenly or immediately, it just happens. Just like that. Right after Jesus is baptized, he gets sent out into the desert to be tempted by Satan. All of those things that are happening here, the coming of John the Baptist, the announcing of Jesus, his baptism, his anointing by the Spirit, his approval by the Father, all of that has been in preparation for Jesus' ministry and what he would come to do. And now, this, his testing, is also one way that Jesus is prepared to do God's work. And so I want us to see, first of all, that Jesus' testing, the testing of the servant, was first of all that Christ was led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the one that sent Jesus to be tested. You can see that in verse 12. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, that's an interesting way that Mark says it, because he says it different than Matthew and he says it different than Luke. Both of them will say he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. But Mark says that the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And that's a very strong word. In fact, if you follow down in the Gospel of Mark here in chapter 1, if you get down to verse 34, you'll find that very same word is used of the Lord Jesus driving out demons or evil spirits out of people. It's used the same way in verse 39 again, and again in verse 43. It's used of him expelling evil spirits or demons. And so you have here the Holy Spirit expelling Christ into the wilderness. It was an urgent thing. It was a powerful thing. It was an urge that Jesus Christ had from the Holy Spirit of God that he had to go. It drove him into the wilderness. And although Jesus has been clearly declared to be God's Son, He was declared that by John the Baptist and by the Father Himself. Although He is declared to be the King who is going to bring in His kingdom, Jesus is, after His baptism and after He's been declared to be the Son of God, He is not permitted by the Spirit of God to go back to Jerusalem and live the life of a king. He is, even though He is the Messiah, as the Jews had been expecting the Messiah for so long, God doesn't allow Him to go back and set up an earthly kingdom, even though that's what the Jews were expecting the Messiah to do. But instead, the Spirit drives Him out into the desert where He would be alone for 40 days. He must be in the desert. He must be tempted of the devil. And of course, Mark's great theme is that Jesus must eventually go to the cross. In other words, He must do God's will, God's way, and God's way was a way of suffering and not the way of prestige, or not even the way of forcing His kingdom upon people. He's not allowed to just go back and start the kingdom, you know, set up His throne and do all of that. Instead, He's sent out to suffer temptation. And so, although He was the King, He is God's suffering servant. And this is God's path for Him. And I can say this. This is God's path for you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Him, if you are to be His disciple, then what Jesus goes through, you will also need to go through. In a moment, the Holy Spirit carried Jesus from light, you know, into darkness. In a moment, He went from knowing the Father's smile to Satan's wiles. It was as if in an instant, you know, the heavens had been opened and the Father spoke, and in the very next instant, all hell was opened up on Jesus. Does that tell us anything? The servant's temptation was immediately after this great spiritual event in his life, wasn't it? How many of you found out that to be true? That when you have had this wonderful time where you've gotten close to God and God has done this great work in your life and it's just so overwhelming and you think it can't get any better than this, and what happens the very next day sometimes? Sometimes you get hit with some of the worst stuff that could ever happen to you. And you just, sometimes even you fall flat on your face. And you go, oh man, what happened here? And it's that way because the devil doesn't want people to be enjoying the joy and the love of God. He wants to drive them far away from God. And if you have enjoyed the love and the joy of knowing Jesus Christ and you've had this wonderful spiritual experience with Him, then oftentimes what's going to happen is immediately the devil's going to be right at your heels. And it's going to be true. But not only is that true, but you see, it was God's purpose for him that be true. It wasn't just the devil's idea. You know, the devil always wants people to fall, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But it was the Holy Spirit's idea to send Jesus out into the desert. He drove him out into the desert to be tempted by the devil. It was as if the Holy Spirit himself arranged the circumstances where Jesus would be tempted, where Jesus would be tested. Let me ask you, do you think that the Holy Spirit sometimes arranges circumstances in your life so that you will be tested? Now we know that the Bible says that God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. You can read that in the book of James. Look it up, chapter 1. Okay? So God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But I do believe that there are times when God, just like He did with Jesus, God sends us into the circumstances where there will be temptation, where there will be tempting. And God knows that's going to happen. You think it was a surprise to the Father that Jesus was tempted in the desert? Of course not. The Holy Spirit sent Him out there for that very purpose. And it's not a surprise to God that you endure temptation, that you endure testing. Sometimes He does it on purpose. He puts you in those circumstances not to make you fall. And God doesn't tempt you Himself, but He puts you in circumstances that will test your faith and test your love for Him and test your desire to do His will. God allows that. And that's okay, you know? In fact, that's good news, because He did the same with Jesus. He did the same with Jesus. Now think about that for a moment. The same Spirit that anointed Jesus at His baptism is thrusting Him out into the desert to be tempted. Why does temptation sometimes immediately come after a spiritual high? Because God allows testing, because He's strengthening us for the task that He's appointed us to do. Maybe one of the reasons you have problems overcoming temptations, and I do too, is maybe that because we view temptation the wrong way. Maybe we don't realize that the Holy Spirit arranges testing for our good. That's what I think the Bible teaches. And that's what God does even with men and women today. He toughens us and strengthens us by driving us into those kind of testing experiences. That's what happened to Jesus. And God does it all the time. Does it to me. And He's not through testing me or you. And His testing is not designed to make us fall or fail or sin. It's designed to toughen us, to strengthen us, to make us more like Jesus. I love a poem that I ran across this week. It says, "When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when He yearns with all His heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world should be amazed, watch His methods, watch His ways, how He ruthlessly perfects whom He royally elects, how He hammers and hurts him and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay which only God understands. While His tortured heart is crying and He lifts His beseeching hands, how He bends but never breaks when His good He undertakes, how He uses those He chooses and with every purpose fuses them, by every act induces Him to try His splendor out. God knows what He's about." Are you willing to trust God that He knows the circumstances that you're under? That He knows the temptations that you face? that He even arranges things sometimes in your life that you might go through those trials? And He has a purpose in it. And He's not designed it for your hurt, but for your help. Would you believe that? I think that's lesson number one today. Because He does do that. He did it with Jesus. He'll do it with you. Lesson number two is this. Christ was tempted by Satan. We said God Himself is not tempted by evil, nor can He tempt anyone. And so God does not tempt us to do evil. But sometimes He allows Satan and his evil forces to do just that. And that's where we're told that Jesus went through this very severe and thorough testing. He was in the wilderness, it says, 40 days, tempted by Satan. Now, Mark suggests what the other writers do not, and he suggests that all throughout this 40-day period, Jesus was being tempted by the devil. He says He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted, and that word is a word that is continuous action. He was continuously being tempted by the devil during that whole 40 days. You know, in Matthew, he said at the end of the 40 days, Satan came to him and gave him these three temptations. You remember that Brian read for us just a little bit ago. But we learned from Mark that Jesus was tempted the whole time. The devil didn't leave Him. He was always there with Him. He was always tempting Him. Jesus had to stand up against it all along the way. In other words, the devil came to try Him out in every possible way. Body, soul, and spirit. He probed and assaulted and sifted and scrutinized and assailed Him and bombarded Him with every thought and every temptation that we as humans are subjected to. When you read those other accounts, you can see how Matthew and Luke gather up all of those temptations into the three final temptations that kind of show us the categories of how we are tempted and how Christ was tempted. Because you see those same categories of how Eve was tempted in the Garden of Eden and Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, and we are tempted those same three ways. But Jesus endured it all. Every way that you are tempted, He was tempted. Now, of course, the temptations of the Lord Jesus didn't stop after those 40 days. We know, you know, from the Scriptures that the scribes and the Pharisees, some of the religious leaders, often on occasions came and they tempted Jesus. They tested Jesus. They tried to get Him to slip up, to fail, to fall, to sin. But He never did. It's interesting that as you read Mark's account here, Mark does not mention that Jesus was victorious over the temptation. That's kind of assumed, you know, as you read through there. You assume Jesus won, right? It's implied there. But the other thing Mark doesn't say is he doesn't mention that there was any end to the temptation. Matthew did. He said the devil left him and angels came and ministered to him. But Mark just doesn't say it got over, because I don't think it did. Satan, as Matthew says, he may have left him until an opportune time, you know. But I'm sure there were opportunities all throughout the life of Jesus, even over the next 3 years of Jesus' ministry, even up until the point of the cross, where He was being tempted by the devil all along the way. I don't think the devil ever gave up until Jesus won that victory on the cross. God allows testing for our strength, we said, but Satan is doing it for our failure. He wants us to fail. Now you must be aware and beware, because Satan is your enemy. He is a powerful spiritual foe. As Martin Luther put it in his great song, he said, "For still our ancient foe doth seem to work us woe. His strength and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal." And that's so true, isn't it? We are not equal to the task of standing up against Satan and all of his evil forces. We're not equal to that temptation. But Jesus was. Isn't that good news? You see, we're not meant to run into temptation, even though sometimes God arranges these situations where we are tempted. That doesn't mean we ought to go looking for it. Okay? You ought not to go running into temptation. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Right? Because we're to be looking for, not looking for how we can sin, but how we can live for God. How we can be more like Jesus. We're not meant to look for sin. Sin will come looking for us. I guarantee it. Now, why does all this matter? Scripture affirms that in these temptations, Jesus gained an understanding and an empathy with our temptations. Did you know that? Jesus underwent these temptations so that He could understand you and care about you when you are tempted. A couple important verses in Hebrews. One of those is in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, where it says that He, Jesus Christ, it says that He Himself has suffered being tempted, and He is able to aid those who are being tempted. Isn't that good news? Did you hear that? Jesus suffered. He suffered how? He suffered in temptation by being tempted. And He says, why did He do that? So He can help you who are being tempted. And then in chapter 4, verse 15 of Hebrews, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Isn't that good news? That's why it matters that Jesus was tempted. Because although He did not sin, He couldn't sin, His temptation was real. You know, as the Son of God in His divinity, He, Jesus, could not sin. But Jesus wasn't just God. He was also a man, a real man. God became flesh. He lived in a body of flesh and bones. Jesus was a man like any other man. And He was tempted as a man. And that temptation was real for Him, just like it was for any of us. It was maybe more real for Him than for any of us. Jesus wasn't tempted in order to that He might be able to sin. Jesus was tempted to prove that He would never sin. And He didn't. But He was tempted so that He could understand each of us when we're tempted. Now, Mark records one other thing about Jesus' temptation. Despite the fact that He was out there in the desert alone with the wild beasts, you know, it was a rough place where Jesus was at. He was assailed by the tempter in all of these ways for all of these days. Yet Jesus was not alone. God gave Him a ministry of comfort and strength. Look at what it says. And the angels ministered to Him. The angels ministered to Him. Now, we don't have time to do a great big study on angels this morning. But just to say this, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 tells us the purpose of angels, especially in regard to us who believe in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:14 says that are they not, speaking about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? What does that mean? It means angels are our helpers. Now, if you think about this, you know, even from the very beginning of the Bible, you can go back through the Old Testament and find places where God would send angels to help, especially those who were feeling alone and under trial and under testing and suffering. God would send angels to help. I think one in the Old Testament, I think of Hagar. She was the handmaiden of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. She had a child named Ishmael. She was driven out of her home, you know, because Sarah was jealous of that, and she had to leave and take her son, and she's out there in the desert, like Jesus, right? Out in the wilderness, and she's just beside herself. She just feels like, you know, might as well die, and my child too. It's where we're at. And what does the Bible says? It says that God sent an angel to her to help her. I think of the story of Elijah. And this kind of parallels Jesus' temptation, because Elijah had had this great spiritual high. He had been up on the Mount Carmel and he had won the victory over the 400 prophets of Baal and Asherah, and he put them to death. And God had won this great victory in sending fire from heaven to consume this altar. And all the people said, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" And there was this great victory. And the very next instance you see is Elijah running for his life away from the queen because she's threatened to kill him. And he is afraid and he gets out in the desert and he's alone and he says, "Oh God, I'm the only one left and they're trying to kill me." And God sends angels to bring him food and water and to take care of him. Sends angels to help. We see the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fiery furnace, right? But they're not there alone. God sent one, the Scripture says, that was like the Son of God. The fourth one, there in the fire with them. Because God does not ever allow His children to go through testing and suffering and trials and temptations without being there with us. Isn't that good news? And that's the picture of what the angels did for Jesus, and He does for us. There was divine help. And maybe that's why Paul, when he's writing about temptation in 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul says that no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Don't you know that God is going to send you help? He's going to provide a way. Done that through His Son Jesus, who went through it first. That's the ministry of angels. They're invisible, but they're real. Maybe some of us have experienced that ministry of angels without even knowing about it. Sometimes maybe when you've been down and all of a sudden your spirits have been lifted up and you don't know why. Could it be that God had sent His ministering angels to uphold you in that way? He does. What temptation are you facing today? What temptation have you been subject to this week? Maybe you've failed so many times that you wonder whether it's possible to have victory at all. But I can say to you this: yes, it is possible through Jesus Christ, who went through it for you. How do we get that victory? By recognizing that our suffering and our tests and our temptations are part of what it means to be a servant of God. We can expect testing, especially, you know, after those spiritual highs that we talked about. And by understanding that although the devil wants us to fall in temptation, God has willed it for our good, and He will help us through it. I heard a story about Reverend H.C. Trumbull. Mr. Trumbull was preaching, and as he often did, in the prisons to the inmates there. And on this one occasion, he told the prisoners, he said, "The only difference between me and you is the grace of God." He said, "The only difference between you and me is the grace of God." And he, you know, he was identifying with those men right there in that prison. And afterwards, one of the prisoners came to him and said, "Mr. Trumbull, did you really mean what you said about sympathizing with us? And that the only difference between you and us is the help, the grace that you've gotten from God?" And when the preacher gave him the affirmation of that, he said this. This is what that inmate said. He said, "I am here for life. But I can stay here," he says, "in this prison more contentedly now that I know I've got a brother out there in the world." Isn't that cool? He knew he had a brother out there that cared and that knew what he was going through. That's the way it ought to be for us, shouldn't it? If we are the servants of God, in this life, we will have suffering, we will have testing, we will have temptation, we will have trials, but we ought to be able to say, as we look at our Savior going through this in the wilderness, we ought to be able to say, "I can stay here more contentedly because I know I have a brother in heaven who sends grace and mercy for my need and my temptations." Do you have that relationship with Jesus? Do you have that kind of relationship with Him where you know that no matter what you're going through, He's going to go through it with you? Because He will. That's why He came. He came to suffer. He came to be tested all the way to the point where He would take your place on the cross and suffer and die for your sin so that you could be forgiven and have that relationship with God through Him. And I invite you today, if you would like to have that relationship with God, to, during our invitation time, to come up and say, "Pastor, I want to have that relationship with God through Jesus because I can't do this on my own." And you can't. None of us can. That's why we need a Savior. Would you come to Jesus today? And maybe you've been, as a Christian, maybe you've been enduring temptation this week. Maybe it's been especially strong. And you know it's going to continue this next week. Maybe you need to spend some time just asking God to send His ministering spirits, to fill you with His Holy Spirit, to that Jesus would live in and through you and help you through this temptation as He promised to. Because He will. Would you make that your prayer today? Listen to God and respond accordingly as we have our invitation today. Let's stand together. Father, We thank you for speaking to us today through the temptation of Jesus Christ our Lord. And thank you, Lord, for those times of testing that you give us, that you might strengthen us. We thank you, Lord, that you have given the victory over Satan at the cross, where all of our sin was nailed to Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the help that we receive from your ministering spirits, from your Holy Spirit who lives in us, and through Jesus Christ who understands what we go through. Father, I pray for those who need to trust Jesus today, that they come forward and say, Pastor, I want to know Jesus today. I want Him to save me. Father, I pray for the rest of us as Christians. God, that as we endure the temptations and the trials this week, you would strengthen us through them and give us victory over them through our Lord Jesus Christ and through the help that you give. Amen.